Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
Welcome, Bethel Church. Welcome to everybody online. And do I have a story to tell today? In fact, I'm just retelling a story that was first told on the first Christmas. And you can find that in Luke chapter 2. That's where we'll go. So if you have your Bibles, turn over to Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And I'm going to retell a story that was told on the first Christmas, on the very first Christmas. And many families, many Christians have a tradition to celebrate on Christmas Day Jesus' birthday with a cake, with candles. Now, if they kept the tradition to put the candles of how old the person that you're celebrating onto that cake, that would be very difficult, in that we would be at 2021 candles, which is an amazing thing about Christmas. Christmas actually split our calendar, split time in two. There was a before Christ and an after Christ came. Before he came was BC, and after he came is AD, meaning the year of our Lord, AD. It's a Latin word that I won't try to pronounce this morning. But, it's not after death. A lot of people think that AD means after his death, but then you would have a 33-year gap. But no, it started at his birth. Time was split. It's pretty amazing. And it's Christmas that we celebrate his coming and really celebrate his birth into the earth. Amen? And so this is that first Christmas. And there are some outcasts that God chose to be the first newsboys, if you would. So we find this story in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. That night, in a field near Bethlehem, shepherds were watching over their flocks. Now, many historians believe that the flocks that the shepherds were actually watching over there near Bethlehem were actually the sheep that would be sacrificed at Passover. So think about this. The very shepherds that get to see the Lamb of God were taking care of the lambs that were a symbol of the Christ to come. In fact, when this time came, they would take this lamb that was birthed, and they would coddle it. They would care for it, because that lamb had to be without spot or blemish. And so there was a coddling of that lamb that was ultimately for the priest to sacrifice for all the people. So probably laid in some hay and protected. Just some interesting history and thoughts. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared in a radiant splendor before them, lighting up the field with a blazing glory of God. And the shepherds were terrified. But the angels reassured them, saying, "Don't be afraid, for I have come to bring you good news, the most joyous news the world has ever heard. It is for everyone everywhere. For today in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born for you, a redeemer. He is the Lord, Yahweh, the Messiah. You will recognize him by this miraculous sign. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a feeding trough. Then all at once, in the night sky, a vast number of glorious angels appeared, the very armies of heaven. And they all praised God, singing, "Glory to God in the highest realms of the heaven. For there is peace and a good hope given to the sons of men." When the choir of angels disappeared and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go. Let's hurry and find this word who is born in Bethlehem and see for ourselves what the Lord has revealed to us." So they hurried off and found their way to Mary and Joseph. And there was a baby lying in a feeding trough. Upon seeing this miraculous sign, the shepherds recounted what had just happened. Everyone who heard the shepherd's story was astonished by what they were told. But Mary treasured all these things in her heart and often pondered what they meant. The shepherds returned to their flock ecstatic over what had happened. They praised God and glorified him for all that they had heard and seen for themselves, just like the angel had said. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for Christmas. We thank you that you sent your son Jesus. And Jesus, we're grateful that you humbled yourself to be born, to come into this world and to embrace the cross for us, laying your life down, Lamb of God, without spot, without wrinkle. You were spotless. You were perfect. The perfect sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And that we are eternally grateful, Jesus. Holy Spirit, help me get out of the way again today. Let the word of God be preached. Let rhema words come to people. Let eyes be open, ears be open, hearts receive your word, your love, your promises today. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. 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 So the title of my message today is Let the Redeemed. Let the Redeemed. And before I get into my message, let me just continue my introduction to the message. It's not a separate message, but it, I think, leads into the point and what God is calling us to do as we are in this series entitled A Story to Tell. We have a story to tell. If you have been born again, you have a story. And it's an important story. It's most important to you, but it's also important to others to hear. Because it's through your story, others might have their own story. Your story is important. And your story must be told. There are eternal ramifications if you don't tell your story. It's a powerful story. And the more you realize how powerful it is, the more you will be excited about telling your story. See, the more you realize how much God loves you and how much he's done for you, the more it will motivate you to tell others, because God is not a respecter of persons. If he did it for you, he'll do it for them. And we encourage one another regularly as we tell our story. As we testify to what God has done, it's what gives us the power to overcome in this life, in this world. Jesus tells in Revelation, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Our story is what empowers us and others to overcome. So why aren't you telling your story? Why aren't you excited about your story? Why aren't you joyful today? Because you have a story if you've been born again. And if you haven't, well, get excited because God has a story for you. God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. God has hope for you. Did you hear the angels as they declared, hope to the world has come? Hope to the whole world has come. Before we get into Let the Redeemed, I just want to point out something interesting as I was studying this week. There are only three times that I could find that angels rejoiced in the earth in the scriptures. The first time was at creation, and we find that story in Job. As Job, a righteous man, was questioning God, he was actually doing something unrighteous. Understand, Job wasn't righteous because he was perfect. Need to understand that, or you will get very confused in Job. If you think that, oh, he was righteous because of what he did. No, none is righteous. Our righteousness, even Abraham, the father of our faith's righteousness, was by faith. It was always by faith. And it will always be by faith that you are righteous and become righteous. Amen? But as Job is going through a most terrible trial and circumstance, he started to question God. And many go, well, just be real before God. And I would agree, be real before God. But if the reality of your heart and you being real before God is you questioning God, be ready and expect a rebuke from God. Like Job did. Remember, Job, the righteous one, got a big rebuke from God. And you go, well, man, come on, God, be merciful. I mean, he's going through a lot. You know, don't you see God? Like, he's going through a lot. Could you not, like, be a little nicer? No, he's not trying to be nicer. He's trying to be kind. And whenever you question God, it's never good. It's not good for you, and it's not good for anybody else. No matter what the circumstance, you can lament, you can pour out your heart, but don't question God as if God somehow is on trial. You know, many times when we go, God, why do you let this stuff happen? He's asking us the same exact question back. He's asking us, going, Atif, why are you letting it happen? He's asking us, Bethel, why are we letting it happen? Especially the church, he's given us the power. And he's in some ways waiting on us to believe and to live by faith and do something about that which we want to bring complaint about. Look, God didn't create all the sin, all of the evil. It was humans. Right? So, God says to Job, who are you? Where were you, Job, when I created the earth and everything in it? And then in Job, we find the angels after creation, when it was good and beautiful and holy, they what? Gave praise to God. So it's there in Job we see the angels give praise and glory and honor to God. And then it's here. Here, at the birth of Jesus, is the next time we see the angels actually giving praise on the earth. Now, let me set this up for just a moment. Remember, one third of the angels were deceived that God was not good. 1/3 of the angels were deceived and believed Lucifer's lie that God could not be trusted. But let me tell you something that happened there on the first Christmas day. All the angels, the 2/3 of the angels that said, no, 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 we're going to trust God. No, 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 we believe God is good. No, 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 God said that He is going to redeem the earth. That day, they saw redemption begin. They saw the Redeemer. They saw God. They saw Jesus come and be born, humble Himself for humanity. Come on, can you imagine the angels going, Tim, yes, I knew it. I knew I should have trusted God. We did it. We did the right thing. He's trustworthy. Yes. And there they are, the armies of God going, celebrate, come on. God is good. God is faithful. He's true. And they celebrate and they give praise to God. Glory to God. You're good and you're true. Oh, I knew we could trust you, God. It was a long time from the defection of heaven, the fall of Adam, the flood, and all that had happened to that moment where Jesus steps into time. He splits it in half, BC and AD, and the Redeemer has come. The Redeemer has come, and just like God, He chooses the outcasts. The ones that weren't even allowed into the temple because they were unclean. Shepherds who were tending to the sacrifice that covered the people. But they themselves were never allowed to go in. What a job. Huh? What a job. What a lowly job. You talk about being discriminated against. They knew that. But God chose them just like He chose me, just like He chose you to tell the story of the Redeemer coming to earth. They got to see it. They got to tell the story. They got to see the angels. Another interesting thing is how often I hear stories of Christians who have seen angels and most often see angels during worship. Why worship? I believe it's because in that moment when we come together in worship, we're joining with heaven. And in that moment, some mysterious thing happens where heaven and earth begin to align like Jacob's ladder, angels ascending and descending. It was that the only times I've ever seen what appeared to be angels in my life. Now, I don't know if I've not entertained angels. I know for sure I've worked my angels hard, okay? No doubt. I've probably borrowed some of yours at times in my life. But in worship, so many times people are like, I saw angels. I had so many times people tell me, as I've preached, they saw angels behind me. I'm like, man, take a picture, you know? Praise and worship's powerful. What was the response of the shepherds after they saw Jesus, as they saw the Redeemer? They rejoiced. They praised God. Let the redeemed what? Say so. Let the redeemed say so. Let the redeemed worship. Let the redeemed praise Him. Psalm 107 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say what? Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. The NIV says it this way. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. And let's establish it with three translations today. Okay? Psalm 107 in the Passion says, let everyone give all their praise and thanks to God or to the Lord. Here's why. He's better than anyone could ever imagine. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And every day, I get to experience more of that revelation. He is better than I could ever have imagined. And I don't know about you, but I've got a good imagination. I can imagine a lot. And he's better than that. He's better than anything you could imagine. But for him to be better than what you have imagined, guess what you have to do? Is imagine he's good. You want to see that he's better than what you've imagined? You know that promise we all love in Ephesians 3:20 that God will do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything you think, ask, or imagine? Guess what you got to do to fulfill that promise? What's the condition in there? You got to be asking, you got to be thinking, you got to be imagining something for God to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond. So a lot of times you're not experiencing that goodness. Why? Because you ain't thinking of his goodness. When you're not thinking of his goodness, you're not going to see above that which you're imagining. If you're not imagining he's good and he's merciful, you're not going to see he's better than that. Yes, he's always loving and kind. His faithful love never ends. So go ahead. Let everyone know it. So go ahead, church. I give you permission today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the rest of your lives. Let everybody know you got a story to tell. You got a story. And people need to hear your story. Tell the world how he broke through and delivered you from the power of darkness and has gathered us together from all over the world. He has set us free to be his very own. So what does it mean to be redeemed? What does redeemed mean? Well, according to the dictionary, it means to be free from captivity by the payment of ransom. We were all slaves. And the ransom for your freedom was the payment of your sin. And that's what Jesus came to do. That was his purpose. That was his mission. The Lamb of God. Even how he came into the earth. The story, it matters, church, in the fulfilling of scriptures, the fulfillment of prophecies, and even the symbolism of he's in a stable, he's then in a trough, he's in where a lamb would be, because he was the Lamb of God that God had prepared to be given for the world, for you and I, while we were yet sinners. He had a plan to redeem us. So, Who are the redeemed? Peter, one of our witnesses today, said in 1 Peter chapter 1:18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, meaning that you couldn't buy it, you can't buy this redemption. The price was too big. The ransom he was being asked for you was too big. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So Peter says it's by the blood you redeemed. You were redeemed by his blood. Paul says it about the whole church, all of us. We're the church, we're in the church because of the blood. Listen, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his blood. His blood, the blood of the Lamb. And then John, another witness, in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 says, you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. We are redeemed, church, not by our good works, not because we came to church, not because we work really hard, not because we read the Bible all the time. We are redeemed by and only by, only by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Come on. Holy Ghost goosebumps right now. I'm about to break out in the choir. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. That saves white as snow. Thank you for your help. Usually I work alone, but I appreciate that time. Lord knew I needed help. Almost forgot the verse. Okay, so the blood of Jesus. So, who are the redeemed? Those who have accepted Jesus and have been washed by the blood. That's who the redeemed are. So, where should the redeemed say so? Where should the redeemed, that's you who have been saved and washed by the blood, where should you say so? Well, Mark chapter 16, Jesus tells us, and he said to them, as you go into all the world, preach openly the wonderful news of the gospel to the entire human race. And then verse 20, and the apostles went out announcing the good news everywhere, as the Lord himself consistently worked with them, validating the message they preached with miracle signs that accompanied them. Hallelujah. So where should the redeemed say so? Everywhere. There's nowhere the redeemed should not say so. Where aren't you saying so today? Because where the redeemed of the Lord say so, there is miracle working power that will accompany you. So if you need a miracle in your marriage, it's time to start saying so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Give him praise for your great marriage. Because It's already been purchased. It's already been paid for. See, it's already a finished work. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from a place of victory. See, it's all about attitude, isn't it? It's all about the attitude of your heart, the position of your heart. Has your heart been redeemed? Because if you know that, no circumstance, no situation has a chance. No bad marriage can remain bad for the redeemed who say so. No sickness, no disease, no poverty, no injustice, where the redeemed of the Lord who say so have a chance. Because my Bible tells me, the redeemed, that we, the redeemed, can do all things as Christ gives us strength. That the gates of hell cannot stand for the redeemed of the Lord who say so. Church, it's time to say so. We're letting the world say all kinds of crap. And it's time for the church to rise up and say so. Not on our watch. You know, we made a decision at this Night of Hope 4, which is happening February the 6th, and Cornerstone has opened up their facilities. Dozens of churches are going to join together Sunday night, Night of Hope 4, elected officials, police officers, first responders, frontline ministries will all be joining together for Night of Hope 4 because we have seen there's an evil, a darkness called human trafficking. And we here at Bethel and other churches in our city have decided that the redeemed of the Lord are going to say so, that this darkness will not be in our city, our state, nation, and world. And that night, February 6th, we're going to say, because we're the redeemed of the Lord and the Lord spoke to us, and we're going to speak what the Lord spoke to us. 2023, guess who hosts the next Super Bowl? We do, in our city. One of the world's biggest events. And guess what happens in the cities of Super Bowls and any big event? Lots of darkness called human trafficking. So guess what the redeemed of the Lord are going to say? Not in our city! Not in our city. Why are we going to say it? Because the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's why. Church, the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing, and it's the violent that take it by force. It's done. I know sometimes, oh man, you're talking really kind of tough and stuff, and I'm like, yeah, I know I am. Okay? But this is not a tennis match. This is life and death. This is heaven and hell. And it's time to rise up. It's time to get angry about the evil that's happening. Because the redeemed of the Lord say so. What do we say? We say whatever God tells us to say. And we give Him praise. And we give Him thanks. Not because the devil has to listen to us. And he does. Hallelujah. But we really rejoice. The highest praise comes to the fact what Jesus pointed out to His disciples. You imagine, the disciples are coming back. Peter, Josh, Peter's coming back. Man, I cast 20 devils out of 10 different people. You know, and then James, oh, 25 people, 200 devils. And then John, of course, just, you know, he's just Mr. Lax. Even though he was a son of thunder, you know, he comes and goes, oh, yeah, one person I cast 500 devils out of, guys. And they're all just rejoicing, right? And Jesus isn't rebuking them for rejoicing. He's just putting them into their eyes on something more important than having the power and the ability to cast devils out of people. He's saying, hey, guys, yeah, that's cool. That's all great. And you keep doing that stuff. But don't rejoice about that. Rejoice about your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. That's good news. And that's a story that's got to be told. People got to hear it. And not just hear about how you're redeemed 20 years ago when you first got born again. But how has he redeemed you lately? How is he redeeming you this week? What's he redeeming you from? Which means, you know what? You got to get real. Not pretend like there aren't difficulties. There are difficulties. We're in a hard world. But the redeemed of the Lord know something. That Jesus has overcome the world. So, where should the redeemed of the Lord say so? Everywhere. When should the redeemed of the Lord say so? Yes. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Yeah, but Pastor, you know, man, I just want to keep it real. And I'm just not feeling like, you know, praising him. If I filled my mouth with praise right now, I just don't feel like it would be real and authentic. I'm not asking you to deny reality. I'm just asking, do you want to change your reality? Do you want to change your reality? Because your circumstances don't have to change for your reality to change. And you don't have to deny your circumstances and the difficulty you're going through. Does he deserve your praise? Yes. Okay, if you're redeemed, are you redeemed? Yes. And at any moment, is he worthy of being praised for redeeming you? Yes. For your name being. Is there ever a moment that isn't praiseworthy to give him praise about your name being in the Lamb's Book of Life? No, this is why you can. I'm not saying give God praise for your circumstance. I'm just saying in your circumstance, fill your mouth with praise, which does have the power to change your circumstances. But at the very least, it will always change your reality. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says this, for this reason, we always thank God without ceasing. So, we have established, when should we praise the Lord? And is there ever a time we should stop? No. So start and never stop. Start and never stop. Again, let me remind you, I'm not saying give thanks for your terrible circumstances. I'm just saying within your terrible circumstances, give him thanks. Give him praise. Because the reality is, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The reality is, he'll never leave you or forsake you. The reality is, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The reality is you already have the victory. The reality is you're the head and not the tail. The reality is you're a joint heir with Christ. The reality is you've been seated with him in heavenly places. The reality is God has a story out of these circumstances for you to tell. The reality is, You are the redeemed of the Lord who has to say so. This is how the reality of your life changes. You say so. He's given you authority to speak to your mountain. He's given you authority to speak to your circumstances. He's given you authority to speak to your soul. Say, soul, why so downcast, like the psalmist? Soul, what's wrong with you? Rise up. Believe what's true. God is for you. God loves you. God has made his home inside of you. So get over it. Soul, and rejoice. You want your flesh to lead you, or are you going to let your spirit lead you? You got to give your spirit the wheel, because your flesh will take it every time you let him. So why should the redeemed say so? This is how we're going to close this one up. Why should the redeemed say so? Number one, because he is worthy. Revelation 4:11, you are worthy of our Lord. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Because he's worthy. He's redeemed you. He went to the cross. He died for you. And all of your mistakes, all of your selfishness, all of your pride, all of your lust, he died for you. This is why the redeemed of the Lord should say so. This is why he deserves the praise, no matter what the current circumstance might be. The reality is you've been forgiven. The reality is he's in you. He's for you. And I keep saying these things, and you got to hear it, because the world is telling you differently. The devil is speaking lies to you. And some of you are even letting him, by turning the TV on, speak lies to you. Some of you are turning music on that's speaking lies to you. And I only get like 90 minutes. Not even that. I only get a portion of that 90 minutes to speak what's true. You go, Pastor, why do you get so loud? Because the world's loud. I want you to hear. I want all the devils in hell to hear what their reality is, which is the lake of fire forever. And their reality is they've got no power over us. They have no authority anywhere we are. Number two, another reason why you should say so, the redeemed, is because he commanded you. All right, he just said so. You know where, you want to know where your parents got that, right? Because I said so, that's why. God just said so. That's why you should do it, because he said it. Stop asking why. Just do it. Because he said so. And because he said so, we say so. Number three, because we have a story to tell. That's why. Why should the redeemed of the Lord say so? Because we have a story to tell. And the world may not care about the Apostle Paul's story, or Peter's story, or John's story, but they might listen to your story. That's why. Number four, the world needs some hope. That's why the redeemed of the Lord say so and need to say so. Because the world needs some more hope. And the angels came, didn't they say? They said so. They said what just happened. The Redeemer has come. The Savior of the world has come to bring hope to the world. And the world needs some hope. And number five, because God desires for none to be lost. This is why we must say so. Jesus died for the sins of the world. He offers the hope of salvation to the whole world. And he desires for none to perish, for all of the lost to be found. This is why the redeemed of the Lord, us, this is why we've got to tell our stories, church. Just like the first newsboys that God ever had to tell this story, were shepherds, unworthy, just like all of us. We were unworthy, yet God, but God, saved us and made us worthy by His blood. His blood is what makes us worthy and chosen. His blood has redeemed us. And we got a story to tell. See, when you know you're redeemed and when you are saying so, it takes any circumstance and it changes the atmosphere to that circumstance. See, when you have an attitude of a redeemed, you find the good in everything. You find it. You're looking for it. But when you don't know you're redeemed, you look for the bad. You talk about the bad. You grumble and complain. And you always see what's not. And then even what you have gets taken from you because of your attitude. But the attitude of the redeemed finds what's good and lovely and pure in everything, in every situation. And that is the attitude that's available to you, the redeemed. A bad attitude, it's just a contradiction to the redeemed. You have no excuse as a redeemed person to have a bad attitude. I'm not saying that you don't have bad circumstances. Oh, so often we encounter bad circumstances, but what God needs and what God desires is for the redeemed to step into those bad circumstances and change the atmosphere. And this week I get a phone call, 12 midnight, and I'm so grateful that I woke up or hadn't fallen asleep yet. I'm not sure. My sister had texted me, said my oldest sister's husband, my brother-in-law, had been rushed to the hospital. That's all the details I had. And so I called her up and heard some more of information that she had. And then I called my sister and I got my nephew on the line. And he had shared how the paramedics had my brother-in-law and that he had stopped breathing. And it was a sudden thing, was unexpected. He had just retired, 67 years old, was an executive, all around the world, had accomplished a lot. Had a full life. And I was just into retirement and was perfectly healthy that anybody knew. So Julie and I flew out, my brother-in-law, He died. He passed away, and so I was there, able to go to the graveside, and we did a funeral ceremony there. And it was amazing, my family coming together in this moment. That was hard, but we comforted one another in the morning. But we constantly were fixing our eyes on what was good and what was lovely, even in the midst of the loss. We weren't denying the facts. There was mourning. There was, you know, but there was never a, why God? Why would you? I mean, never. It was amazing. I mean, 67, he just retired. Why God? I mean, he had so much money. I'm like, why? There was never that. It was just, wow, God, thank you, thank you. And then it was at the funeral that I remembered what my sister had shared the day before, and how they had recognized. See, my nephew was a preemie. He was born 3 months premature, so my sister wasn't the first one to get to hold him. It was his dad, Asif. The first breath my nephew took, Zachary, was in the hands of his dad. And the last breath his dad took was, my nephew was holding him in perfect peace, and there, as he was passing into the eternity, to be with him. Now, some would go, oh, how tragic. He's going to have to live with that the rest of his life. But not the redeemed of the Lord, that who say so. They see that as the greatest gift God could give them. The first person to hold Zachary when he came into the world was his dad. The last person to hold his dad was his son. How beautiful is that? And the redeemed of the Lord see it. You can find beauty in the ashes. And even if it's not there, you seeing it, God can produce it.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.